Welcome to installment 122 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains three commandments. Prohibition number 42, the prohibition of wearing shatnez, a garment with a mixture of wool and linen, and two commandments relating to the law of Peah, with our beginning our discussion of the Rambam's agricultural laws. Peah is the corner or the end of a field. There is positive commandment number 120, to leave the end of the field or the end of a tree for poor people. And prohibition 210, the corresponding prohibition, not to completely harvest or consume the end of a field or tree. Prohibition number 42 is a prohibition which is very relevant today. This is the prohibition against wearing shatnez, a garment which has a combination of wool and linen mixed into it. This prohibition is derived from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 11, where it is stated, Lei silbash shatnez, do not wear shatnez, where this shatnez is any garment which has any combination of wool and linen. This is whether it is combined woven, as in a woven fashion, as the Rambam quotes in Sefer HaMitzvahs, or as he expands upon in his legal code, Yad HaChazaka, even should they be sewn together or spun together or combined in another way, still it would be prohibited as a result of this prohibition of shatnez. Although the Rambam does not normally give reasons for the commandments in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, in this commandment he does give the reason behind the mitzvah. This is in spite of the fact that shatnez is often referred to as a chok, a commandment for which there is no reason. The Rambam, however, gives the reason that just as the priests of different idolatrous groups would wear shatnez, would wear a garment with a combination of wool and linen as part of their religious services, so too we are prohibited from imitating them by wearing shatnez. And the Rambam adds a historical note, or at least a note of historical interest to us, that it is well known among the Coptic monks in Egypt that they wear, or at least wore at the time of the Rambam, coats made or garments made of shatnez as part of their religious services. Other reasons are also given for this prohibition of shatnez. The Medrash traces the prohibition back to the first murder which ever took place in mankind. This was among the children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Cain and Hevel. As we know, the biblical story that both Cain and Abel wanted to bring offerings to God. Cain brought an offering of flax, but of inferior quality. Abel brought an offering of wool and other parts of the sheep, and it was of superior, of perfect quality. God, seeing what was behind both of these offerings, accepted the offering of Abel, and was burned up on the altar, whereas Cain's was totally rejected. As a result of his jealousy, Cain murdered Abel. The Medrash relates that after God saw this murder, he declared that the offerings of Cain and Abel shall never again mingle in anything having to do with people, even in their clothing. Therefore, linen, which comes from flax, and wool, which comes from the sheep, are both prohibited to come together in a garment. The Zohar explains this in Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, on an even deeper level, that Cain represents the forces of evil and impurity, whereas Abel represents the forces of holiness. And the offerings from holiness and from an unholy source may not be mixed together. And by doing so, by wearing a garment which has such a mixture, one brings a revelation of impurity into the world. Shatnez has been a long neglected mitzvah. In order to ensure that a garment that one was wearing does not have shatnez, should it be the sort of garment in which shatnez is sometimes found, one must check it. One must give it to a competent person who knows how to test all of the fibers in this garment to see whether it actually is shatnez or not. Even one strand of linen, an entire wool garment, renders not only that one part shatnez, but the entire garment shatnez, and it must not be worn by a Jew, man or woman. One is not ensured that a garment is not shatnez just by checking the label of the garment. Although today one can also find garments in which the very material is made of shatnez. However, even if a garment is listed as being 100% wool or polyester, nevertheless there are other parts of the garment which are not listed on the label. The interface, the padding, and even the thread which holds the garment together can have different parts of linen which would make the wool garment shatnez. In fact, button thread is often made out of linen since it is an extremely strong thread and is therefore used to hold the garment together. In addition, today we increasingly find garments which have listed among their component fabrics as other or reprocessed fabrics. These are different waste fabrics which are decomposed and recombined in a mixture to become a usable form of material. These may also contain different types, different amounts of shatnez, either wool or linen or both, and therefore should be avoided. In any case, a competent rabbi or shatnez expert should be consulted. Many people who are aware of the prohibition of shatnez think that the prohibition is only found today with suits or coats. I, however, have had a personal experience where a pair of wool pants that I bought, the pants themselves were shatnez, since the waistband was made of linen. In addition, it has even been found increasingly today that certain articles of women's clothing also can contain shatnez, and therefore they should be checked. The problem is more prevalent among foreign-made clothing than American-made clothing. However, it is prevalent in American-made clothing as well. The only way to ensure shatnez-free clothing is by having the clothing checked. The Talmud Yerushalmi tells the story of Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, who once gave a garment to be washed. When it came back, he noticed that the garment had had a few stitches, a few pieces of thread changed. He not only checked those few pieces of thread, but he had the entire garment rechecked, even beyond the limitation of the law. Strictly according to law, since he had already checked the whole garment originally, and a few stitches had been changed, he would only have to check those few stitches. However, to impress upon everyone the importance and the seriousness of shatnez, he inspected the whole garment anew. The story has also been told of Reb Yehuda HaNasi, the author, the compiler of the Mishnah, who was once given an extremely costly robe worth 300,000 dinars, a virtual treasure. At first he did not want to accept it, but when it was pushed upon him, he accepted this garment. Once he examined it, he found it contained shatnez, and therefore, since he could not remove the shatnez, he immediately burned the entire garment and destroyed it. The stringency of this commandment is indicated again in the legal code of the Rambam, where he declares that if one sees that his friend is on the street wearing a garment of shatnez, he is obligated to remove that garment even if he leaves his friend naked in the street, if he is transgressing a biblical prohibition of shatnez. Even though in many other sorts of rabbinic commandments, many other commandments, we declare that the honor and the self-respect of the person is more important than the mitzvah, in this case it does not apply, and the shatnez garment must be immediately removed. The Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvahs that, as in many other biblical prohibitions, the penalty for this one is malchus, or lashes, and it is discussed in the tractate Kilayim, as well as in the Talmudic tractates Shabbos and Makkos. The other two mitzvahs of today's portion are associated with the law of Peah. Peah is the first of the matnas anim, or the gifts which must be given to poor people from the field and the produce that a farmer earns for himself. The commandment of Peah, which would mean either a corner or an end of a field, is that from the time that the farmer starts to harvest his field, he must leave an end of it specifically for the use of poor people. Although no specific amount is explicitly indicated in the Torah, the sages have estimated that at least 1/60th of the field must be left for the poor people, and it must be left on the end of the field where they can easily reach it and acquire it. This commandment applies not only to a field, but to a tree. When one takes the fruit off of a tree, one must leave part of that tree for the poor people to remove the fruit for their own personal use. The Rambam mentions that this commandment applies biblically only in the land of Israel. However, it is prohibited even outside Israel by rabbinic decree. There are two separate biblical commandments relating to this law of Peah. One is a prohibition, that one may not completely harvest the field, and thereby not leaving this Peah, this grain or produce at the end of the field or tree. There is another commandment, the positive commandment of Peah, that one is commanded to leave, to abandon this produce at the end of the field or tree for the poor people. This is a positive commandment. The prohibition is Prohibition 2:10, and the Rambam derives it from the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 22, which states, Leisachala pa'at sodcha bekutrecha. Do not completely harvest the ends of your fields. The positive commandment, which is positive commandment 1:20, he derives from the book of Leviticus also, but chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. These verses list many of the matnas aniyim, many of these gifts, which one is prohibited from taking for oneself, and conclude, La'oni v'la'ger tazaveisam. They must be left for the poor and for the stranger. This, the Rambam declares, is a positive commandment to leave the Peah. The commandment is discussed in length in a special tractate devoted to these laws, which is tractate Peah. However, there is an important aspect which relates to this law, as well as many of the other ones which we will be discussing in the next few days, that this prohibition is a lav shenitak le'ese, as discussed in Tractate Makis. This means it is a prohibition which has a positive commandment directly associated with it. Therefore, even after violating the prohibition, one can remedy the situation. Even if one has completely harvested the entire field, he has a remedy. He can still give Peah. He can take part of that produce and give it to the poor. This fact that there is a remedy even after one has transgressed the prohibition of not to take the Peah, not to harvest the entire field, leads us to an interesting law which applies throughout the Torah about any lav shenitak le'ese, which has a positive commandment as a remedy for the prohibition. This is that although the punishment for the prohibition of not leaving the Peah is a punishment of lashes, of malchus, one does not incur this punishment until it is no longer possible for him to perform the remedy. Therefore, even after one has completely harvested the field, one cannot give lashes as long as he could still reverse this effect and give the end of the field, the Peah, to the poor people, even if he is not any longer giving it directly from the field, but from his harvested produce, he nevertheless would escape the punishment of lashes. However, once he can no longer remedy the situation, for example, he has lost all of the produce, or it has been burned, or it has been completely eaten, if this has happened, then he would incur lashes, because it is no longer possible for him to remedy the situation. This applies to any of these similar prohibitions, as we will be discussing over the next few days, God willing. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.